So I want to introduce our presenters. First is Sarah Milder. She is a senior epidemiologist and research consultant at Arundel Metrics, Incorporated, a population health research firm located in St. Paul, Minnesota. Sarah co-authors two nationally distributed health indices, the America's Health Rankings and America's Health Rankings Senior Report. She manages quantitative research projects, consults on public health development projects, and provides data analysis, interpretation, and management. Prior to Arundel Street Consulting, Sarah worked as an infectious disease epidemiologist at the Minnesota Department of Health and had a previous career in criminal justice. Sarah holds an MPH in maternal and child health epidemiology from the University of Minnesota and a BS in psychology and women's studies from the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Our second presenter, or our co-presenter, will be Tom Eckstein. He is co-founder of the Arundel Street Consulting Incorporated, a new products research market research firm located in St. Paul, Minnesota. The firm started in 1985, works with small companies through Fortune 500 firms in defining new products and services and assessing their potential in the marketplace. He is a principal at Arundel Metrics Incorporated. Tom has developed and published three nationally distributed studies, including the Americans Health Rankings for the past 24 years. Prior to Arundel Street Consulting, Tom worked at Eastman Kodak and the 3M Company in product and new business development. Tom is a past president of Minnesota International Health Volunteers and currently the board chair for the Jefferson Center Healthy Democracies. He received his BS in chemical engineering from Case Western Reserve University and his MBA from the University of Minnesota. We are very pleased to have them join us today and make this presentation, and Nashwood has partnered with them to bring you this information for the last few years. So, Tom and Sarah, I'm going to give you the floor, and you can just take it away, and we will progress the slides on your cue. Are y'all there? Stay muted.
This is Sarah. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, Sarah, I can hear you. I was about to panic.
I think Tom was going to start, but if he doesn't become unmuted, I will.
Yeah, and you both could hit star six to unmute your individual lines.
I did. Tom says he's still muted. He's chatting with me right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm here now, supposedly.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Sorry about that. So, okay. I'll go ahead and start and Sarah can follow up if that's all right. So on the third slide, we just wanted to tell you kind of what our agenda is going to be for today. You know, the introduction we kind of go through right now, Sarah's going to talk about the model, the metrics, and the methodology, just to give you a brief overview of that. Then I'll come back and talk about a little bit of the findings with the top-level seniors. What the report content is, what we plan to do, and open up for discussion. We hope to have a fairly good period of time at the end to take your questions and stuff like that, which I think we'll take via the chat window. So as you signed in, you learn how to use that tool. On the next slide, you will see that we have, this is actually, could be an old slide now, because we hope to be able to get you guys ahead of today, but we did. We actually released this morning at 12:01. Eastern Time, and you can actually just go straight to americashealthrankings.org right now and get all the information that you need. What we tried to do, we had sent a slide deck out a little bit earlier, and people could have gone in earlier and get the ranking stuff like that on an embargo basis. And we do make that available to NSWAD anytime each year, and we'll continue to do that. So that's kind of the background. On the next slide, I'm going to give you a little background on the senior report. And really what this is we're trying to start the conversation about the big picture of senior health, not one particular aspect such as, you know, obesity or smoking or health care, but the whole thing about how it's all integrated. So this, in our third edition, we try to take that comprehensive perspective across the nation and across each of the states, and we look at 35 different measures to do this. As I said, we really are trying to start the discussion and get the communities talking about how things are integrated And particularly the thing that we find very engaging is the fact that the research shows that the clinical care is probably only 15, maybe a little bit more percent of health overall. And the rest of us taking care of all the other factors. And so we got to bring those to people's attention. So that's kind of why we do this integrated approach and try to get the discussion about everywhere from behaviors, community environment, to clinical care, to outcomes. So that is the objective of the thing. We draw our data from many different agencies. Again, trying to do this cross-pollination and remove silos of data. And we also work with a group of health experts to actually put together the index, what's included in it, what their weight is. We'll talk about some of the tools we provide on our website, and hopefully that and the report will be useful to you and your group as you work forward. So our sponsor of this project is United Health Foundation, and they really are interested in putting the spotlight on seniors. And their emphasis there is really to bring forth evidence-based ideas that can actually improve health and also to integrate with across multiple entities, not only healthcare, but also business and communities going forward. The next slide is actually the introduction to the metrics, which Sarah can take over from here. As you.
All right. I should be unmuted, I believe. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, right. We can hear you.
All right. So model metrics and methodology. We can move to the next slide. There. So we take a holistic view of health. We believe that health is not just about being well. We look at what we call health determinants and outcomes, and our model is made up of four different categories of health determinants: behaviors, community environment, clinical care, and policy. And we believe that these health determinants influence health outcomes. In our model, 75% of the weight of all of our measures are in the determinant section, so those four categories, and we weight health outcomes 25% of the overall state ranking. Excuse me. So you can see on this slide lists all 35 measures by category. So you can see them all here. I'll just let you take a quick look instead of reading to you. Okay, and then we can move on and the next slide. So now I'm going to just tell you about what we changed from last year. We had a measure in the report the first 2 years called social support, which was a community environment measure that we really liked that was from the behavioral risk factor surveillance system. Well, 2010 was the last year that was available. Now only some states ask that question, so we actually had to drop it from the report because it was no longer going to be updated. So we added a new community environment measure called home-delivered meals, and this is the number of persons served a home-delivered meal as a percentage of those adults aged 65 and older living in poverty. We also added an additional food-related measure under the policy section called SNAP reach. And SNAP, similar to home-delivered meals, is the number of adults aged 60 and older who participate in SNAP as a percentage of adults aged 60 and older living in poverty. You can see most of our measures, we look at adults aged 65 and older, but there's a couple data sources that actually cut their data off at the age 60. So that's why SNAP looks at adults age 60 and older rather than 65 and older. So that's the second additional new measure. And then we added a supplemental measure that is available but does not get counted into the overall state ranking called Prescription Drug Plan with a Gap. This measures the percentage of Medicare prescription drug plans with a donut hole or payment gap. And then there were a couple other changes to the data sources that we get our data from. For the supplemental measure, multiple chronic conditions, we previously reported it was previously reported as all Medicare beneficiaries. And this year we were able to pull out just those Medicare beneficiaries age 65 and older, so it's more precise now. That is also a supplemental measure. And then the CMS five-star quality rating system, the definition of what is four stars, five stars, was changed. So that impacts the nursing home quality metric for every state. They believe that they increased their standards, so many states might have seen a drop in this measure due to the new definition by CMS. That's all I have for the updates. I think Tom's going to jump back in and talk about the results.
Okay. And if you go one more slide ahead, you'll see what we're doing today. Starting at midnight, we put out a national press release and state-specific press releases. I noticed that some of the newspapers in the different states of the people calling in have already picked up this item. We put the embargo site up, which is in advance of this, so people can react to it, that like yourselves, that need to react to some of the media stories. We're busy conducting interviews today. We conduct both in English and Spanish. We have three spokespersons that that work on a report for us. And they are briefed in the findings and work with the different media outlets to bring the story forward. All of them are actually MDs, but they're also very much trained in the public health perspective, in which they're not just talking about clinical care, but they're talking about the whole environment of care. And we do a lot of briefing in there in advance to make sure their message in it talks about the comprehensive nature of health, not just the health delivery system. And we just finished a Twitter chat a few minutes ago, and we're doing a pretty aggressive outreach on social media channels today. The next slide was basically the key national takeaways that we're talking about. And we talk about there's some encouraging data, especially related to some of the care infrastructure issues. But we always temper these with the fact that we got a mixture here. We have some gains we can usually celebrate every year, but we also got challenges we need to face. And there's no state, whether it ranks first or 50th, that doesn't have both successes and challenges to talk about. But the one thing that they all have is the fact that we have this growing, aging population. Over the next, it's supposed to double by 2050. And as you're all aware, there's just this more and more people come to this population group that is one of the neediest population groups in terms of health delivery. On the next slide, we'll talk about what the actual message we're going with, that you'll be hearing today in the media type of things. And here we talk about the encouraging side of it first. We've seen some improvements continuing in preventable hospitalizations. And in the use of end-of-life care. So the preventable hospitalizations have dropped between 9 and 11% where they look back 1 year or 2 years. And we're also seeing that there is more use of what quite often comes through as preferred options for end-of-life care. Hospice care increased again over the last year, and hospital deaths decreased in the percent of deaths. So this is both two measures in which we're seeing some more balance come in a system where people are getting access to die where they prefer to die. We're seeing an increase in the amount of home health care workers in the workforce in the last year, substantial increase. We hope this report relays on the fact that we're getting home health care as being more of an option available to seniors so that they can stay in their homes for a longer period of time. Even in all the discussion with the flu vaccine last year, we did see an increase number of seniors that reported that received the flu vaccine. This is a real positive sign in the fact that, as you know, seniors are very vulnerable to the ill effects of flu. And we wish to promote this idea of keeping going ahead and receiving more flu vaccine going forward. And we've also seen that over the last year that seniors self-rated their health status as improving. So the seniors that were in very good or excellent status or said they were in that status, it increased almost 5% in the last year. So over 40% of this population now report themselves in excellent or very good health. The next slide, we list few of the challenges that we wanted to put forward. I mentioned the earlier one about the population doubling. That's just the capacity not only for the health delivery system but for all the support systems, the community environment area, all the behavior things for physical activity, anti-smoking, smoking cessation, stuff like that. Just the fact that more of these people coming in with their unique challenges, it's going to be a capacity issue. One thing that we're really disappointed was the fact that we see physical activity move up in 2015, so less people are active. And that is that's very disappointing, the fact that we now have a third of the people that basically are classical couch potatoes. And for seniors, we actually define this as only physical inactivity among those that have fair or better health status. So if they report they have poor health status, we don't necessarily expect them to be active. So this physical activity is among those that are in fair and better health status. So that's the way we cut the data makes it even a little bit more disappointing that we have that level of inactivity. We still see a lot of just unhealthy behaviors and conditions affecting this population group, as we all know. With the multiple chronic conditions, almost 40% have four or more chronic conditions in this age group. We have one in four being obese, and we still have smoking rates of almost 9%. The other thing we notice is that per capita health spending, community support per capita health spending has declined by 23.9% over the last 2 years. Really disheartening decline in terms of the factor of increasing demographic coming into it, and we have constant or decreasing spending. On the next slide, you can kind of skip ahead two of them, if you would, please. If you haven't seen it yet, there is the rankings. It's also available on a website now at americashealthrankings.org, senior rankings. You can see these rankings. On the next slide, I'm going to show you some of the tools that we have available for you. The first one's the infographic. Each year, in the last few years, we've picked six of the metrics we look at that we feel have a good message behind them affecting the health of the senior population. And so this year we talked about physical inactivity, food insecurity, SNAP, REACH, flu vaccine, hospice care, and hip fractures. And so for each state, we on the website is this infographic that you can use. We are also pushing them out through social media throughout the day so that people get an idea of at least what these six measures and how they interrelate. Also this year, the next slide shows we had a commentary from Jewel Mullen, who is the head of ASDO and the commissioner in the Connecticut Department of Public Health. And her really call is about working together to cross organizations to kind of accomplish these goals, and not only necessarily in public service sectors but private sector organizations also, to push together, promote healthy aging by working together. Another tool that we have that I don't have displayed on the website is we have state summaries. If you go to each of the state things, there's a state summary which lists kind of all the metrics and what rank you are and what the rate of it is. And it also, we have state profiles which will be up later today that actually break out some of the subpopulations for some of the key metrics, like subpopulation about by race, by gender, of the different behaviors that where we have that data available. But going ahead to slide 19, if you would, skipping two ahead. What we like to do is think about how to put these to use. One of the things is we really try to accent each of these that all the states have strengths and challenges, and have that be a way to start discussing both what's going well in a state and what could be a challenge for the state. We also use the rankings to help people to understand the importance of different interventions. And the fact that many of these interventions, when people talk about health, are outside the health, direct healthcare arena. We have a Take Action Library that we use, which people can click on a metric, and we can give some of the suggestions that we've found that of things that can happen both from an individual level to an organizational level. We have, I mentioned, these different resources available we welcome you to use, available for download. And we find many times that our well-being and holistic and stuff like that has allowed individuals to say, here is where my role picture fits in this whole picture. The whole picture is important, but this is the piece I do. So people understand how all the different programs fit into changing health in a community. The foundation is committed to being part of the solution, so and they keep trying to expand the number of tools that they have available to them. So I think the next slide is just our contact information. So at that point, I believe that we're ready for any questions.
Great. Thanks, Sarah and Tom. We will proceed. If you have a question, please type it in the chat box, and we will take those initially, and then if folks want to ask a question, we can do that later. The chat box is a good way to type in a concise question and for us to be able to get an answer. We did have a previous question about how do you define community support spending, and I see that you all put up a response there. Do you want to give a verbal response on that so folks can kind of hear your take on it while we're waiting for some questions to come in?
Yeah, I pasted in the exact definition from the source for anybody mm-hmm. that has questions, but it comes from the AOA Aging Integrated Database, and there's also a link to the actual data I put in the chat box with the definition. And it's OAA expenditure plus all other funds administered. You can see that up there.
Okay, that was that all, Sarah? Did I miss it?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Yes, I think that is very explanatory, so people can get all that information. We also can take questions over the phone. By hitting *6, you can unmute your line and ask a question if you'd like. So that's another way that we can get questions in. Anybody have any questions? I don't know if you all have had an opportunity to look at your state's information this morning or this afternoon, I guess, for those of us on the East Coast. Do I hear any? Yes?
I'd like to ask if the decrease in community spending has occurred along geographic lines. Is it in particular areas of the country, or is it an overall profile?
Well, that's a great question, because I don't know if I've looked at it that way yet.
I'm pulling up the map right now.
That's what I'm looking for, probably going to the same place trying to figure out if we can look at the map. Because what we do is we do have on our website, we have a state-by-state display, and each of the maps, when you find to it, actually have a length of look at time for these measures. So we can look at these things over time and display them by a map. And I'm trying to find out is, of course, now our – but it changed so dramatically that our map isn't going to probably be a lot of good for us. So so anyway, we'll get back to that. I don't know the answer to that.
So the question is then whether or not the community support breaks out in any kind of obvious geographic configuration across the states.
That's right. Yep. And we can get back to you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh. I have a question on the chat box. It says, I don't believe I received our state's information. Was it sent to registered participants?
We provided it to you, Deb. I don't know if you sent it out to your registered participants.
We did send it out to the list of our members list. But for the broader group, and we do have four of our lists on this call that we invited to the call, and so we will send it out right after this to the whole group that we asked to be on the call. So we were trying not to preempt your release, and so we may have erred on the side of caution.
And I noticed Sarah put up the link to the website, so it's all there.
Right.
Sending out is there. So.
So people can just go automatically to the website. That would be probably the most expedient.
Sure, it would be. Save that email traffic that we all decide.
You bet. Anyone else have a question?
Hi, this is Lee Grossman with the State of Wyoming Medicaid.
This
was a really helpful and valuable report. I had a question on a particular kind of supplemental measure that y'all put out there. The policy measurement per seniors. When I read the description, it seems honestly a little vague and kind of hard to nail down. Also, very heavily reliant on state SNAP policies. Could you talk a little bit about why those four particular measures listed are viewed as kind of the most accurate measure for that category?
That policy is one of the toughest ones we have to struggle with, because we're trying to find, and I will not say it's, I wish it's one of those that we always talk to advisors about how to improve this every year. Because we are looking for ones that are more uniformly collected across states. And a lot of things that we look at, they're collected in 35 states or 40 states, but not all 50 states, or they're not collected comparably. So it is one of those that we pick those four as they're available, collected across all four states, and we invest in combined. It's one of the areas that we would love, for, especially like this group here that has a lot of play in that area. Are there other things we should be looking at? But our idea was to have things that are actually influenced at the policy level. And we have run across this on our annual one also. It's just those measures that are just so hard to nail down because they're not consistently implemented or measured across the different states. So I know, Lee, it's not a good answer, but that's one of that we wish we picked the four that our advisory panel says was best that was available across all 50 states. And the limitation is the availability across 50 states. So if you or other people have suggestions, we'd love to consider it. What we do with our advisory panel is we collect all the suggestions here, Sarah and I do, and then we do some background research with it about availability and then present it to our panel and say, can we use this? What's the pros and cons of using this as a policy measure? So that happens over the next few months.
Just to add to that, after every conversation with our expert panel every year, we get lots of good leads and lots of great ideas on better measures. We really wanted to do an assisted living measure this year. But kind of as Tom alluded to before, it's really limiting when you try to find a measure that is assessed equally across all 50 states.
Sure. This is Lee here again, and I can certainly appreciate that lack of availability. And of course, I had to ask about that because my state is listed as dead last in that category. So, of course, that's why I had to bring my experts up. But I agree. Measuring policy, that's a really tough one. So given where we fell in that ranking, we'll certainly do some brainstorming here and reach out with any conclusions that we have for y'all.
Their contact information is there on the slide deck, too, so that's a good way. Or people could send us their suggestions, and we can forward them on if you would like. This is Deb at Nashwood. Sarah, did you have something else?
Yeah. I was just going to comment, Lee, since you had mentioned NAVREACH, I just wanted to tell you kind of the thinking behind that, bringing that in as a policy measure. Since there is so much discrepancy between those that are eligible and those that are actually enrolled by state, we kind of thought, maybe there are some states obviously are doing a better job at enrolling people than others. So that's why that was brought in as a policy measure.
Thank you. Does anyone else have a question, either on the chat box or through the phone? Not hearing or seeing any. Tom and Sarah, do you have anything else you'd like to add or comment on?
I mean, I guess the only other comment is that we really do invite feedback about how to improve this every year. We try not to make radical changes so that there's somewhat idea comparison between years, but as we can improve it in these different areas, that's the things we're looking forward to, especially in these initial years, to get a good solid base going forward. So, again, send us your comments. We'd love to look at them and talk to you. And the other thing we do is tell you that if you need more information, just want the data, just let Sarah I know, and we can give you what data we have. We're willing to share the information that we have, so if you want to look at specific numbers and stuff like that and want to, you know, have it in an Excel file or something like that, that's easy to work with you. That's a request that we do quite often.
Thank you so much. We will, again, be putting the slide deck and the recording on our website page, on our homepage, under Nashwood News. Caitlin may already have it up there, and it will be up shortly anyway. And we thank you all for being on the call today in the webinar. I really appreciate Tom and Sarah, you know, spending their time and helping us out and giving us the information directly. So I hope that you all find it helpful and a way to advance policy in your state. So thank you all very much. We appreciate your participation, and we will be closing out now, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.